world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
This week on Parents Are Hard to Raise, our appetites naturally change with age, but these three warning signs can signal something's wrong. Plus, the solution to your parents' lack of appetite just might be covered in fur.
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. I notice my parents, I mentioned them before, Annette and Joe, 88 and 87. I've noticed them that their appetite isn't what it used to be. I mean, my father could eat 3 huge square meals a day and snack in between. And I notice when, you know, we're eating together, neither one of them eat as much as they used to. And I'll say, Dad, don't you want more? You know, and they look at a plate of food that I might make them and they're like, I can't eat that. And, you know, there's certain physiological things that happen to people when they age, elderly people when they age, that are natural. And that's what's happening, I'm sure, with my mom and dad. I mean, there's no, you know, illness that's causing it, or they're not losing a substantial amount of weight that's noticeable. I mean, if that happens, then there are other issues going on. But, you know, as mom and dad age, there's an increase in the hormone that causes fullness. And they don't get that, their hunger drive isn't as strong. They don't get that same, you know, hunger pangs that we get. So that causes them not to want to eat as much. A big thing is there's a change to their sense of smell and taste. And smell and taste are really involved in the enjoyment of food. So their taste buds, they lose some taste buds as they get older. And if you ever hear them talking and saying, geez, you know, this food just doesn't taste the same, that's all part of the aging process. Sometimes they can't eat what they used to. Their digestive system changes a little bit. You know, my mother will say to me, I can't eat nuts. I used to be able to eat nuts. You know, I can't eat them anymore. So things happen, and these are things not to worry about. If they have tooth pain, you have to obviously take them to the dentist. Or if they have poor fitting dentures, sometimes you notice when an older person loses weight, or as they get older, their dentures don't fit like they used to, so they need to go to the dentist. And sometimes they're on medications that will alter the sense, the taste of food, the smell. Sometimes they'll make them nauseous. Usually your mom or dad is on at least one medication. And believe it or not, there's like 250 drugs that are common that can alter the sense of taste or smell. One of them is, you know, certain antibiotics. So those are all kind of normal things that happen as we age and things we don't have to worry about. When an older person starts, you know, losing a substantial noticeable weight, then we want to worry about it. What's causing it? Is it physical? Is it a medical condition? You know, do they have an acute illness? Is it chronic pain? Is it social? We don't think about, you know, having an appetite being influenced by our mood or our environment. But I find when a person, especially, you know, your mom or dad, loses a spouse and they're living alone, who wants to eat alone? You know, that's something that we don't think about, but a person doesn't want to eat alone. So they have no motivation to cook or to eat. You know, it kind of, they get depressed, and that does happen. I had a client who, his mom, you know, lived in a home. Her and her spouse bought this home and retired together. And it was a big home, but at the time, you know, they had children who were getting married. So he died, her spouse died, and this woman just couldn't, she couldn't get over, you know, that her husband died and she was all alone. She withdrew from her family, from her friends. She didn't want to do anything. And, you know, her son was very concerned, and her son was frustrated because, you know, fortunately, he lived nearby, and his sister lived nearby, and they kind of take turns going over and visiting with her. And she wouldn't get out of bed. She didn't want to shower. She didn't want to get dressed. And they would bring her, you know, prepared meals, stuff that they would make at home, and then, you know, put it in containers and bring it. And they'd sit in the bedroom with her and say, you know, Mom, let's go eat. You know, I have something made for you. I have this or I have that. And she didn't want to eat. She didn't. And Mom, you know, you have to shower. You have to get out of bed. And she wouldn't. And he would say to me, you know, she has to get over my father dying. You know, we've got over it. She has to move on. I'm telling her she has to move on. And what would happen is, you know, she'd get weak, obviously, because she wasn't eating, she wasn't drinking, she wasn't taking her medication properly, and she'd get out of bed and she'd fall. And fortunately, she wouldn't break anything, but she'd lay on the ground until the housekeeper came the next day and found her, and she'd go to the hospital, and she'd go to rehab, and, you know, she would come out, and the same cycle would repeat itself. And she would say to her son, you know, oh no, I'm going to eat, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to get out of bed. And he would say, okay, you know, I feel better about it. But the cycle would just repeat itself. And he couldn't, they were frustrated. They were like, I don't understand. And I would say to him, you know, going there and visiting and sitting there and saying you have to eat and just bringing food over to warm up and let her sit and eat by herself isn't going to make her eat. And you can't force her to eat. And she's not going to, because she has no appetite. She's depressed. And, you know, I said to him, well, what did you used to do, you know, on a Sunday? And he said, oh, we used to all, you know, my father included, but we also all used to sit there and we used to cook. We used to cook together, and then we'd all enjoy a meal together. And I said to him, well, you know, maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe what you need to do is have your sister do breakfast, you know, maybe twice a week, let her come there and start cooking breakfast. And, you know, let your mom smell the bacon cooking. And, you know, say, Mom, you know, I have bacon and eggs here. Let's, you know, let's come down and let's eat. And maybe she won't the first time, but eventually she may. Because if you're going to do that, you set up a schedule, set up a routine. Moms and dads, older moms and dads, they need a routine. They need a set schedule. And maybe you know, as her son can say to her, Mom, you know, I'm going to come over for dinner, or maybe you and maybe your son, her grandchild, on another night, and maybe set up, you know, if your sister comes over Tuesdays and Thursdays for breakfast, maybe you can come over for dinner Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays and say, Mom, you know, I'm really looking forward to, I wish you would make me, you know, your lasagna. I wish you would make me that. You know, my wife doesn't make it as good as you did. And I wish you could make that for me. And that'll give her a purpose. And maybe on the Tuesday and Thursday, after she has breakfast with your sister, they can go out shopping for the ingredients, get her out. You know, she has to get dressed to go shopping. And on Sundays, you all can come over, you know, grandchildren, you, your sister, and everybody start cooking, and she'll start to come around, and everybody cook and eat together. You know, there's a difference between eating alone, having somebody prepare something, and eating alone, and everybody eating together. And I know it's difficult because as a child, you know, of an aging parent, we have schedules, we have kids, we have grandkids, and you know, you have busy schedules, but your parent who lives alone can sense that. And you could say, well, I invite her over by us, but it's not the same thing. You know, they don't want to feel like you have to come over and you have to sit and enjoy a meal with them. They want you to actually want to do that and want to take the time. And it does take time. So if you are in the area and you set up a schedule, that is something that may work and can get a person out of that depression. And after you start doing those, you know, Sunday meals together, invite one of her friends over. Let the friend just come by, invite her over, and she'll start to make plans with the friend. Maybe go to lunch with her once a week, go out to a movie, do things like that. There has to be something to entice them to get up in the morning and to want to eat, to want to do things. And don't make a plate for your mom on Sundays. You know, don't make a plate for her at breakfast. Let her make her own plate. Let her decide what she's going to eat. And don't worry about what she's eating and how much she's eating. You make it about the social, the visit, the conversation. You know, bring up stories, things that happened. That's more important than what she's actually eating. Happier people tend to eat more, and that's going to make her happy. You know, that's going to make her relaxed. And if no one is saying to her, you have to eat, or you have to eat this, you got to eat more, let her decide what she's going to eat. And if you go out to lunch and all she wants is an ice cream sundae, and she doesn't have any medical restrictions on, you know, she's not a diabetic and she can have that, let her have it. You know, make it more about the calories, about what, you know, she's eating something and she's happy. You know, even dogs, there's certain dogs that are social animals. You know, I had German Shepherds, and if I put out food for my German Shepherd and then went into another room, he wouldn't eat. I mean, he would eat when we ate, and he taught me. You know, I realized when we sat down to eat breakfast, we put his food too. And if we were eating breakfast, he ate his breakfast. I mean, if I was in a rush and I had to go somewhere and I just put out food, that wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to eat. I had to sit there with him, you know, while he ate. And what worked is he ate when we ate. And that's how people are. You know, think about when you're alone. Do you want to eat? When my husband used to travel and I was alone, I didn't cook for myself. I didn't want to eat. I didn't. I would sit at the counter and maybe eat, you know, like an apple or something if I was hungry. I didn't cook for myself. No one wants to eat by themselves, or it's not a normal thing. We're used to being with people. So this worked for my client. I had another client whose wife had Alzheimer's, and I'll tell you a little bit about them when we get back from the break.
She's always been there for you. She taught you how to ride a bike, tie your shoes, make your bed, blow your nose. She nursed you through the chicken pox and that nasty stomach flu. She was there on your first day of kindergarten, just out of sight, peeking through the window, her heart breaking just a little. You were growing up so fast. She knew just what to do to make it all better when you skinned your knee, came home with bubble gum in your hair, and got your heart broken for the very first time. Now, she needs you, and you have no idea how to help. You're not alone. Since 1982, we've been helping people just like you find answers to the problems you're facing right at this moment. Life is so much more complex than it was when we were kids. The stresses you and I face today are greater than they ever were for our parents when they were our age. We're pulled in so many directions at once, There never seems to be enough hours in the day, and no matter how much you do or where you turn, it still feels like you're letting someone down. These are the kinds of problems that can tear families apart. The good news is, you're in the right place. There are solutions, and we'll help you find them. We are the men and women of MedX Home Care, and for over 35 years, we've been helping families just like yours grow older together.
MedX Home Care is a great organization. I've worked with them for the past 35 years. And if you need or looking for home care for your mom or dad, or you're not sure, you have questions, give them a call. You can find anything you need to know about them and their phone number at MedXHomeCare.com. So Floyd was another client of mine, and his wife had Alzheimer's, but she was still eating. She wasn't speaking, but she was eating. And Floyd said to me, she's not eating enough. She's not eating enough. And so when I went there to see what Floyd was feeding her, Floyd was, you know, trying to feed her what she ate 20 years ago. He'd have a huge plate with meat, potato, two vegetables, that he'd cook everything himself. He was totally devoted to her. And then after that, he wanted her to have the big salad. And I looked at him and I said, Floyd, she can't eat all this food. Yes, she has to keep up her strength. You know, she has to eat. I said, Floyd, I can't even eat all that. You know, she can't. You have to give her, you know, small meals, small things. It's not, you know, how much she's eating. It's what she's eating and that she still is eating. And he didn't realize that. He thought, you know, she has to eat. And if that poor, his poor wife, I mean, she sat there and, you know, she chewed and there was a home care aide there feeding her and trying to, you know, feed her. But it took hours to get through this meal, and the poor thing was bursting out of her clothes. You know, I said to him, she's not, you know, as active as she used to be. I mean, of course, the home health aides were walking her and trying to exercise her, but I said, Floyd, she can't eat this amount of food. So we don't realize, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, people are going to do what they did, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. If food doesn't just taste the same, you know, to your mom or dad, or, you know, they're not as hungry all the time because they are less active. There are certain things you can do to stimulate their appetite. If you give them a citrus-based sorbet, for an appetizer, the tartness of the citrus activates the salivation gland. Aromas, smelling different things, putting cinnamon in a pot of water, it's a sweet smell, it smells good. You can add something sweet to the main course. You know, don't wait for dessert. Coat an apple with cinnamon and bake it, or coat an apple with sugar and lemon juice and bake it, and put that there, you know, with whatever you're serving as the main course. And they, you'll be surprised, they'll go for that apple first, but that's okay. You want to have bold flavors because of the loss of taste buds and the sense of taste and smell. So you want to use spices, fresh herbs, caraway in vegetables, citrus juices, or dill seed in rice or fish, you know, flavored vinegars, cilantro, basil. Those are all bold flavors that you can use. So these little tips help, and they work. And again, don't worry about the quantity of what your mom or dad is eating. Just make it about the company, the experience, and that they're eating. So next, I wanted to talk to you about why mom and dad may need a pet. Pets have great positive effects on the elderly. Pets are natural antidepressants, especially dogs, because you have to get out of bed to walk that dog. And that dog is going to let you know. A dog is a great socializer. It helps you get out and you socialize with people. You're walking that dog. And the dog socializes with you. So people who are alone, an older person who is alone, a dog is great company. Dogs do funny things. They're great listeners. You develop a bond with a dog. Cats as well. Cats you can put on your lap. Dog you can put on your lap. You can hug a dog, kiss a dog. A dog gives mom or dad a sense of responsibility, structure, routine. And we don't realize it, but an older person needs that structure, needs that routine. Boredom comes from not having a routine in an older person. For us, it comes from having the routine. So we don't get that. And it's different. They're used to a routine. They're used to getting up, going to work. They're used to providing, caring for someone, caring for the kids, caring for their husband, caring for their wife, going to work, doing things. They were on a clock. Suddenly they're not. And how much can you sit in front of the TV and watch the TV? So pets are great health boosters. They can help lower blood pressure, decrease stress. They'll increase energy because if you have to walk a dog, you're getting out and you're exercising. Now, what I do suggest is for older people or smaller dogs, dogs that don't need, you know, to be exercised as much or run and hard to handle, especially in the beginning. There's so many smaller dogs that can make lap dogs. They maybe only have to be walked, you know, once a day. They don't shed as much. They don't require as much care. I mean, if a person can't take care of a dog, they have dog walkers, they have dog sitters, and you can get a companion. You can get a home health aide to come in and not only sit with you, cook dinner for you, eat with you, and have a dog. They can walk your dog. They can feed your dog. They can take care of it if you can't. Cats, great companions. I can't get over how many homes I walk into today and people have cats. I've never seen so many cats in homes. People have cats. Sometimes people have five dogs, an elderly person. I mean, it's amazing. Dogs listen. They listen to you. You know, we as children, we're so busy with our careers, our own children, our own grandchildren. We don't realize, but we kind of, not intentionally, but push our parents aside because our focus is on our own family. And we don't do it with any malice. It just kind of happens. So they don't have anybody to talk to. Especially when their spouse dies. So they're alone and they withdraw and you can't blame them. So a dog can bring them out of that, or a cat, a pet, because they have someone to love, someone who needs them, someone they have to care about and be responsible for. So, and someone who's companionship for them. And walking a dog, having to feed a dog, they'll eat with a dog. So that can stimulate their appetite. It can sharpen their mind because they're conversing with other people. You know, you walk a dog. When I used to walk my dog, a million people would stop and want to meet my dog. And that'll happen with an older person as well. So it's a mood booster for them. It's a definite plus. And especially if you're not in the area, you know, you can't visit as much, or maybe they don't have as many friends as they used to. A pet is great, and a dog is great protection for them. A dog is good protection for an older person. I remember my mother-in-law had this little lap dog, and on her back when, you know, you recorded a message, you had answering machines. She used to make the dog bark. So she'd say, so if somebody's calling, you know, to see if I'm not home, they're going to hear that dog bark and they're going to think I have a big dog and they're not going to come and rob my house. I mean, but dogs are good protection, and a dog is going to protect that person. And there's, you know, there's different kinds of smaller dogs. Like I mentioned, Cocker Spaniels, Yorkshire Terriers, Chihuahuas, they're lap dogs, they're lighter. you can carry them, and they're easier to manage. So definitely invest in a pet for mom or dad. A good idea for mom or dad, an elderly person, is to go to a shelter and adopt a rescue dog because they have older dogs there. And older dogs are good, you know, because they're not as feisty. You know, like a puppy is a lot of work, and a puppy runs around, a puppy needs to release energy. But an older dog, no one wants them. And an older dog and an older person, definitely they form a bond, a loving bond, you know. And dogs can sense when, you know, the person they love doesn't feel good, or they're sad, or they're happy, or they're excited, or they're anxious. And a dog will, you know, your dog could be laying there, but they know that person. You're the person they bond with. They study you, and they know everything about you. What do they have to do all day but do that? And, you know, if you're upset over something, they'll come over and they'll you know, give you their paw, they'll jump on your lap, or they'll want you to hug them, and you'll feel better. You'll release endorphins hugging a dog, and endorphins are things that make you feel good. And it's just a great thing for an older person and an older dog, any kind of dog. So go out and get mom or dad a dog. Now, here's my survival tip of the week for you. Don't think I'm crazy, but I'm going to tell you to hum. There's benefits of humming, and you can just or you can hum a song that you know. You can start out humming for 5 minutes and work your way up to 15 minutes. And humming makes you feel better. Humming decreases your sense of loneliness. It refreshes your mind. It clears out cobwebs in your mind. It releases and reduces stress. If you're humming, it relaxes and can soothe your neck, your face, your head, and your shoulder muscles. It slows down your breathing rate. We usually breathe like 15 to 17 times in a minute. When you hum, you breathe 4 to 6 times in a minute. It slows down your heart rate, and that reduces stress. It reduces the number of thoughts that are going through your head. It can shift your thinking from negative to positive. It puts a smile on your face. It calms your nervous system because it triggers the relaxation response in your body. It can help with insomnia, and guess what? It can improve sinusitis. The vibrations help shift and clear pathways and blockages. So, I want to hear you hum. Well, that's all I have for this week. Thanks so much for listening. You can find helpful links to topics we talked about on today's show in the show notes for today's episode at parentsarehardtoraise.org. If you've got something from this week's show, please tell a friend. Subscribe to the show using iTunes. That helps others like us find out about the show as well. Remember, I want to help you in any way I can, so let me know what you're struggling with, and I'll try my best to include it in future shows. You can reach me through my website, dianeberardi.com. Diane with one N, B-E-R-A-R-D-I. You can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thanks so much for listening. See you again next week.